A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display? I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 146. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are continuing our discussion of Crooked House. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
Crooked House was a series of three linked ghost stories for Christmas from BBC Four from 2008. It was written and co-produced by Mark Gatiss, who's well known for British science fiction and a favorite of ours here at British Invaders. And it was broadcast as three roughly half-hour episodes right around Christmas time.
That's right. And as we discussed in our last episode, we have the framing device of this young teacher, Ben, played by Lee Ingleby, hearing stories from a museum curator played by Mark Gatiss himself. And the stories all link to this now demolished manor house called Geep House or Geep Manor, where the original owner, Sir Roger Widdowson, the lengths he went to in order to try and get a son and heir, which we hear about, how he desperately wanted a son and how he was prepared to get involved in some dubious and strange goings on to try and secure a son. And in our last episode, we talked about the first of the stories that the curator tells young Ben, which was the wainscoting. But as you said, Brian, we have two more stories to get through.
Yes, absolutely. The wainscoting took place in about 1786, I believe, and it was already some time after the house had been built. But the second story is quite a bit later. It's called Something Old, and it takes place in 1927 in Geep Manor, and it is set around this costumed ball, like a costume party in classic 1920s style, with Felix de Montmory, and he is announcing his engagement to Ruth Sykes.
Yes, he is, but strangely enough, it doesn't seem to be a popular announcement with his friends. There are some issues of class going on. This is a very upper-class sort of party, and there's a suggestion that Ruth may be sort of somewhat beneath him, and in particular the announcement and the idea that there's going to be a wedding disturbs Felix's grandmother, Lady Constance, quite a lot. And we should mention as we go along that Lady Constance was played by a very well-known British actor, Jean Marsh, who of course has a connection with Doctor Who, Brian.
Yes, she was in Doctor Who back in the 60s and returned as a different character in the late 1980s. She played a few different characters in Doctor Who and was a companion, or disputably a companion, as Sarah Kingdom back in the mid-1960s. And she also, of course, is well known for being attached to Upstairs Downstairs, and really has done quite a great deal on British television over the years.
And very good she is too, and here she is playing Lady Constance, who, she's not too keen on the announcement at this party.
Yes, absolutely, and she doesn't seem to mind who the bride is and this sort of class issue and these kinds of things don't seem to bother her. But she does not want a wedding in the house and in this Geep Manor. And we're left wondering why. And there are sort of some mysterious goings-on surrounding what may or may not be happening there, and a couple of old objects or articles from this house from years earlier sort of come into play. And there seems to be this strange figure in a wedding dress that shouldn't be there, but is just glimpsed among the partygoers and is there and then not there. And there are strange and mysterious things going on.
Absolutely. A spooky bride glimpsed from time to time. What could be more creepy? And as you've said, we've got this this 1920s costume set in, which I think gave them an excuse to raid the BBC costume department and bring out some quite fabulous fancy dress costumes for this production. And it all looks quite good.
Yes, absolutely. The BBC is known for doing historical dramas and doing them very well. And this was certainly an example of that in both of these first two stories.
So there we are, the two stories that the curator tells to Ben Morris. And somewhere linked around all this is the history of Geep Manor and Sir Roger Widdowson. And then we get the final story, which went out as the third episode, obviously, The Knocker, which is, as the name suggests, about the door knocker itself that set Ben Morris off on his investigations at the local museum. And when the curator tells him that it's really of no particular value to the museum itself, he suggests that perhaps he might attach it to his own front door. And indeed, that's what Ben decides to do. So he puts this rather odd-looking big heavy metal door knocker on his front door, and there's his new house where he lives alone. And of course, you can probably guess what's coming. In the early hours of the morning, in particular at the hour of 3:43, he hears a knocking at the door.
Exactly 3:43 every morning,
every night. That's right, 3:43 each time. And he goes down to investigate and opens the front door and steps outside, and there's nobody there. But when he steps back into the house, well, things get a bit strange, Brian.
Things get very strange indeed, and you have some very dark and interesting things going on there that are quite neat, quite some interesting stuff there. And as this is going on, of course, he is being stressed out by these strange things and being woken up in the morning. And he is also, it seems, trying to patch things up with his ex. And you get these thoughts that, you know, he sort of broke up because he didn't really want to be a father, and, you know, his girlfriend was pregnant, and then maybe he's coming around and does want to be part of things after all. And we get sort of hints at that quite a bit, although it isn't entirely clear, but there are lots of hints that he's sort of going in different directions and leaning back towards connecting up with his ex and looking to be a father for the unborn child. And he is still, of course, talking to his colleague Jess, and he's confiding in her about these strange things that have been happening. And they start looking at researching the original owner of the house, Sir Roger Widdowson, who we've seen very little of, but there are lots of sort of comments and thoughts and ideas about him. And the various people and sort of shady characters that he was talking to and involved with as well.
And it's all very interesting and sort of brought together. And we can't give too much away, obviously. But we do have this, after two period tales, we do have this modern day story to finish us off. And we get this interesting idea of what would somebody really do if they encountered the strange events that Ben encounters.
Yes, you do get a lot of questions with that kind of thing there. And it's a nice connection of taking these very historical style stories and pulling them into the present day is quite cleverly done.
Okay, so it's all fun stuff, and it all builds up. And we should talk a little bit about Ghost Stories at Christmas, which we promised to do. As we know, there's a famous line, a famous sort of tradition of ghost stories on the BBC at Christmas, often adapted from very famous works of literature. In particular, there was a strand that went out under the title of A Ghost Story for Christmas, which ran from 1971 to 1978. And we have talked about this series before, Brian.
Yes, we have. We talked about some M.R. James adaptations in British Invaders 57 and 58. And one of those was A Warning to the Curious, which was part of that Ghost Story for Christmas series, We also talked about Whistle and I'll Come to You, which was not at Christmas time, but it was an even earlier British ghost story, M.R. James story, that was done for the BBC. And there were a number of these done throughout the 70s on this Ghost Story for Christmas series. And they were typically based on M.R. James stories, but they also used The Signalman by Charles Dickens at one point, and they did a couple of original stories as well.
And many of those original stories were produced and directed for the BBC by Lawrence Gordon Clark, who would also go over to ITV and direct an adaptation of M.R. James's Cast in the Runes, which we also discussed on those episodes. And quite interesting, there's a little nod towards him in this show. In the first ghost story, The Wainscot Inn, the coffee house where the friends meet to discuss the strange events at Geep Manor is called Gordon Clark's, and that was a deliberate nod to the original producer and director.
Yes, I love the idea that the name of a modern TV producer is showing up on a coffee house in 1786.
Yes, it's a lovely little touch, and there's another one coming up which we'll also talk about in a moment as well.
BBC Four revived the Ghost Story for Christmas series in 2005 with a couple of M.R. James stories in 2005 and 2006. And the British Film Institute recently released a DVD set of the BBC Ghost Story for Christmas series that included that whole run from the 1970s and that earlier 1960s production that we mentioned of Whistle and I'll Come to You, and the 2010 remake of Whistle and I'll Come to You, which was at Christmas time but was not officially labeled in the Ghost Story for Christmas series. And they included, of course, the two revival shows from 2005 and 2006. So that's quite a nice little DVD set from BFI there with lots of BBC ghost stories, mostly from Christmas time.
Yes, it's splendid stuff because many of those stories had been released on BFI DVDs earlier, but they'd been deleted and were no longer available. So now to have them back out in a box set is very good.
Yes, very nice indeed. And it even includes some of the readings that Christopher Lee did for television of the M.R. James ghost stories. So there's some lovely stuff there.
Yes, absolutely. And who knows, you may be hearing about it again on British Invaders in the future.
Oh, who knows? That may well be.
How could you? How could you?
It was such a long time ago. I'm so sorry, Lady Constance. I didn't mean to upset you. I just thought...
You thought? You didn't think at all. Something old to bring the poor girl luck on her wedding day after all that's happened.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Forgive me, m'lady, but this has gone on long enough. Because of that day, that terrible day, this family...
So we should get into the good and the bad. What did we think about this Christmas ghost story drama, Crooked House?
Okay, so how would you like to start us off, Brian? What stood out to you as good in this particular production?
Well, there is a lot to say about this. They squeezed an enormous amount into 90 minutes, and I liked a great deal of it. Looking at those two period dramas that are part of it, the 1786 story and the 1923 story, I think both of those had some very good performances in them. I really enjoyed that.
Yes, the cast here is very good, particularly, as you say, in those two period pieces. Philip Jackson, who people will recognise as Inspector Japp in the Poirot films, Jean Marsh, we've mentioned, Julian Ryan Tutt, and Mark Gatiss himself as the curator in the framing episodes. So, you know, very good stuff, very good acting. Really, I don't think there's any performances that stand out for the wrong reasons at all.
Yes, the framing part of it in the last episode, those performances were good too. They were not quite as striking in some ways, but they were definitely good. I also really like the look of the period dramas. They really brought that off well and had a very good sort of sense and feel of this was the time that you were in. It took sort of very little effort watching it being drawn into that time period, which is really nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Writing by Mark Gatiss and direction by Damon Thomas. And I think we'd say they're pretty good. They make a good team. We liked what they did on First Men in the Moon, and I quite like the teamwork here as well.
Yes, definitely. The writing is good with the period drama, then modern stuff. It really goes along at quite a clip and moves through a lot of ideas in this great big historical sweep quite quickly, but it does it in a way that doesn't feel rushed. It feels like it moves quite well, which is very nice.
Okay. We've already mentioned that this show has some nods to some of the classics of British horror, I suppose. We've talked about the Christmas ghost story theme. We've mentioned that there are nods to Lawrence Gordon Clark. It has that feel of classic British portmanteau horror films with a sort of framing device. And also, if you're quick, you will notice that in the museum curator's office, amongst all his bric-a-brac and paraphernalia, there is a street sign which reads Hobbs Lane. And that, Brian, of course, is a nod to
Quatermass and the Pit.
Yep.
Where they talked about the idea of Hob being a name for the devil and this being something that was very much tied to sort of devilry and these sort of very old witchcraft ideas. And yeah, just having that sign pop up in here is very nice.
Yep, we love that. We should say that there are some great scares in this show and that there are moments which are quite generally nasty. I'll mention Gareth on Facebook, who tells us that it was a worthy successor to the traditional ghost story at Christmas with a number of genuinely chilling moments, which I would agree with. There are some good scares.
Yeah, there certainly are. It goes from some good sort of classic spooky stuff into almost more horror movie, really intense surprises and some intensely disturbing stuff in some moments, especially later on in the show. So there's definitely some strong stuff, some neat things in there. Something that was a clever little reference in there that I didn't realize myself until I saw it in the documentary on the DVD, that Geep Manor is, of course, Latin. Geep is a Latin word meaning crookbacked. So we have the idea that the title of the show, Crooked House, is loosely a translation of the Latin name of the house, Geep Manor, in the show itself.
Oh, right. Yes, of course. That nice little nod there as well. So, yeah, good stuff. So what about the parts of this show that didn't work quite so well? Did you have any criticisms of it, Brian?
Well, it generally worked pretty well. One thing that was a little bit jarring was the huge jump in time from a 1786 story to a 1923 story. Now, I know Mark Gatiss wanted to avoid doing a Victorian era ghost story because so many of them have been done before, but it did seem a little bit jarring to suddenly jump over 150 years or more. And it was done fairly well, how they did that, and they smoothed it out reasonably well. But it was a little bit jarring the first time I watched this.
Okay, yeah, that deliberate jump, as you say, trying to avoid the Victorian period again. Okay, I think some of the twists and turns can be a little bit familiar. If you've sort of seen a lot of these sort of ghost stories, you'll get the idea that there's something coming. So that may be a slight negative point here.
Yeah, because it sort of follows a bit of that British horror film tradition in certain ways. So, yeah, some things may be just slightly too familiar in that way. But I think the reveals that it has are done so well that even if you have the idea already, the impact is still very good.
Okay, yeah, pretty good. As you know, I did have a slight problem with the credulity of one moment, which was whether or not anybody would really put that quite horrific, grotesque door knocker on their front door, because I'm not sure I would.
Yes, there were the odd moment in the modern day part that seemed a little bit contrived. and there were slight tendencies towards it being a little bit circuitous in how it goes from time period to the present day, and trying to hold that together. It generally worked pretty well, but seemed just a little bit stretched that we were somehow jumping around from one spot to another trying to follow this very long story of the house. But that's really a pretty minor issue. I think all in all, it does work well.
Okay. And at least when things do start to go horribly wrong, he does try to get rid of the door knocker. So there is at least part of what would you actually do? You'd try to get rid of the thing. But there you go. Okay, so very interesting. Anything else you'd want to say, you know, in the negative column?
I don't think so. It really is a pretty strong show.
Okay, so I guess that brings us to our own decision and our own recommendations to our listeners, particularly to those who haven't seen this show, whether or not they should invest the time and money and have a look at it. Brian, what's your opinion going to be?
Well, you can probably get the idea that I like this show. It was very well done. The problems and issues with it were really pretty minor. And I would say, yes, absolutely, get this. It's a very good show. It has lots of spooky moments and lots of more scary and disturbing horror style moments, some good intensity, good performances. It's really worth seeing. So absolutely, I recommend this.
Okay, so it's going to be a very solid positive double thumbs up from us here in British Invaders. Because as regular listeners know, I love a good ghost story. I love Mark Gatiss and I just love Crooked House. I've watched it 3 times now and I just think it's fantastic. And it's very good value at the moment. So if you haven't seen this show, we'd say do yourselves a favour and check it out.
Yes, absolutely.
And as ever, if you do watch the show as a result of our reviews, then please get back to us with your own thoughts and feedback, either on the Facebook group or via email or the website or the forum, and maybe we could put some of those in a bonus episode. We're always looking for feedback.
Yes, indeed. So, in summary, Crooked House was the story of Geep Manor and gave us a couple of historical views into strange things that happened to it in the 1780s and then in the 1920s, and bizarre things kept being attracted to this house, and strange and disturbing things happened to it, and as a modern day history teacher is looking at this and talking to a museum curator about it, the house has been torn down, but he is now in the same spot in his own house and looking into these, and maybe strange things are starting to happen again in the modern day.
Okay, it's a very good creepy story that we really liked here, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on it as well.
Yes, it's a new classic ghost story.
Well done, Mark Gatiss and Damon Thomas. So, next time, we're going to another sort of BBC classic, the classic serial, back to 1984 and to the BBC's adaptation of The Invisible Man by H.G. Wells. Another interesting show in another sort of classic sort of strand from the BBC.
Yes, it's always interesting to see what the BBC adaptations of novels were like, especially from that time period. So that should be really fun to look at. You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at BritishInvaders.com. We are part of the Geek Culture Network, so you can find us at TheGeekCultureNetwork.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find us that way as well.
Splendid. And you can also find us on the Voice of Geeks streaming radio channel at VogNetwork.com. And as ever, we say hello to all our Vogon listeners. And if you've joined us from Vog Network, do pop in and say hello and let us know. We look forward to hearing from you, and we look forward to having your company for our next episodes.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. And until next time, this is Eamon in England saying, knock, knock, who's there?